Today on Real Radio.
Do you personally know Jesus Christ as your risen Lord and Savior? If you do, you're going to heaven. God will not ask for your degree. He's not going to ask for your tassel. He's going to ask, what did you do with my son? My son, when you heard the gospel and the grace of God was extended to you, tell me, what did you do with my son when you were on earth?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a multi-part series called What Will Happen to You When You Die? Taken from chapter 15 and the first 11 verses. What will happen to you when you die? Now, there's a question that's got to be among the most contemplated of all time. And as we've been learning, it's only the believer in the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who has hope beyond the grave. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called What Will Happen to You When You Die?
I can't communicate in words how thankful and grateful I am that when my memory here's the name of, maybe it's the name of some girl or some place, and my mind goes back to, oh my gosh, that spot, the evil that tries to rush upon my thinking, and then instantly I get to reach into the bag, can I say it this way, my bag of warfare, and pull out the scripture that says I can bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ and bring it under his arrest, and I can push that aside, and then I can say, Lord, that was me 40 years ago. And you died on the cross for my sins, and that's no longer my plague. That's no longer my scourge. Jesus, free it from my memory. And you know what's awesome? Because I've read my Bible. The Bible says God has taken our sin and removed it so far from us, as far as the east is from the west. He also says, I've taken your sin from you, and I will no longer remember it. And when I confess that thing that's 40 years old, God says, what are you talking about? He doesn't remember. Did you know that? You and I struggle with memory. Only God can forget. Everything that was against him, the moment we come to Christ, God forgets our past. And Paul the Apostle says, you know what? His grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. Has anything good come from your life since the day you met Jesus? You want to know why? It's because God is gracious. That's why. I don't believe in God, and I'm a multimillionaire. I don't believe in God, and I'm as healthy as an ox. I don't believe in God, and I'm eating, drinking, and being merry because tomorrow I just may die. Yeah, tomorrow you just may die. God has given you all these things, and what have you done with them? But rather than thanking him, you've even used them for implements of sin. Has he given you the ability to make money? And what have you done with it? Has he given you strength and power and a healthy body? And what have you done with it? Everything is of God that is good, and it's all of his grace. But once we become a Christian, oh my, it is awesome. It is awesome to be a Christian. That's why I firmly believe, look, we all battle with pride. I mean, it's true. I told you before, if we had a group picture, you'd look for yourself first. Why? Because that's pride. It's in us. We will not be free from pride to the day we die, but it no longer rules us. It no longer controls us. Do you have to win the argument? Does your name have to be at the top? Why this? Why that? Is it always about you? That's pride. That needs to die. But in my estimation, I don't understand how a Christian can be proud. When you look into the face of Jesus, pride is blown away. And I think maybe as a people, we need to start looking more closely at the face of Jesus. In worship, you were worshiping. Some of you were weeping. Some of you had your hands up, and you were worshiping. And you know what? When you're in that, when you present yourself to him that way, there's a sense that the old part of us dies away, huh? And that's why we come together as a church. That and other reasons, but certainly an awesome reason. His grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, Paul said it, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You think he knew something about that? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Galatians 2:20 and 2:21. Awesome verse, huh? Do I even need to read it? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. Don't think you don't need his grace. For if righteousness comes through the law, if you think you can be good enough, then Christ died in vain. I want you to hear me loud and clear, friend. Jesus did not die in vain. Your megalomaniac view of your self-righteousness lies to you and tells you you don't need a savior. You don't need salvation. Jesus did not die in vain. My friend, your independence from God is in vain. And what will happen to you when you die? How do you, this verse that's in my heart and mind right now, I'm going to give it to you in a second. It just popped in my head. How do you teach on it? How do you explain it? What book can you read to better apply it? I don't know. How is it that God weeps over the death of the wicked? We almost justifiably, at least in this earthly scene, rejoice over the death of the wicked. They had it coming. It's what they deserved. You all agree with me. Don't look at me like I'm shocked. If a pedophile is hung by the neck until dead, I think that's justice. I think that's right. God weeps. I don't weep. When a guy comes out of a bar and he's drunk and carousing and goofing off and cursing God and cheating on his family and he gets broadsided in an accident and slips into eternity, the wife might say, well, he was never a good man. And the kids might say, good riddance. God weeps over the death of the wicked. I'm sorry to tell you, I did not weep when hell opened up its mouth to ingest Osama bin Laden. I did not weep when hell opened its mouth to receive Saddam Hussein. And I should have. My argument, my point is this: God does not want anyone to go to hell. No one. And I don't know that kind of love, except I am very glad he loves me like that. Number five is the need. From beyond our need, the verse 10 goes on to say, for by and his grace toward me was not in vain. Simply put, we don't need to belabor it. It is this: God's grace. Watch, everyone, that he extended to me. He extended, watch. Let's do this. James, whose wife affectionately calls him King James, by the way, I might add. I had to embarrass you in front of all these people. Let's say James had not a penny, and I have this that retails for $14.99. And I just simply say, and by the way, you can't have this. You can. Yes, you can. You can have this. But I knowing something about him that he cannot ever, he'll never have $14.99. In his lifetime, he'll never have that much money. And I just say to you, enjoy that. Be blessed by that and have a great time. He simply holds out his hand and he receives this little pathetic token of an illustration of grace. He didn't buy it. It was given to him. If he wants to insult me, he turns now to me and says, how much do I owe you for that? Then I would say, did you not hear me? It's a gift to you. Oh, no, that's okay. Americans, we're not good at this, receiving gifts. We all, you know why so proud we are that we have to outdo the gift. I am so proud that people who know me, and there's people here, if we've been out to a restaurant together, you know. Now, after I say this, you're all going to want to go to dinner with me. I have tricks. Now, granted, I want to believe that it's rooted in the fact that I love the people I'm with. That's what I think I'm communicating. But I don't know my wicked heart. That I'll either slip my credit card to the hostess that's seating us in advance and say, make sure I get the bill. Some of my friends have picked up on that, and they try to outdo me. So now I call ahead, and I say I'm wearing a black shirt, and I want to have the manager see me. It's gotten to be a brutal game. Why? Because pride can't receive anything. I've got to cover it somehow. That's my pride. And God says, I want you with me in heaven forever, in eternity, and my son paid the price. And it's free. And we turn to him and we say, well, how much do I have to pay you for that? As though he's some sort of a cosmic prostitute. It cost him the blood of his son. And all of a sudden now, heaven is so close to us, and death is no big deal. Because what God has done, it's of his work, it's of his effort, it's of his cost, and I go free. I sound so old these days now. When you're raising kids, you say, clean this out, do this, do that. And if you're good, you'll get an allowance at the end of the week. That's how you raise your kids. And then you have grandkids. Just stand there and look like you do. Can't understand a word come out of your mouth. Here's 10 bucks, go get yourself a donut or something. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? And I laugh at myself. Because God must be like that in some grand way. Just take it, will you? My need is overwhelming. And God says, just take it. And he's given us hints along the way. When I stub my toe, the Lord speaks to me and he says, I'm with you. I know how that feels. Oh God, I got a splinter in my finger. Jesus says, you make it. You make it. I know how that goes. And you take it from there, and you take it all the way through to that final breath. And Jesus says, I know what that's like. I'm with you. Number 6, from beyond achievements. From beyond achievements. Verse 10 continues, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. After I got saved, I put myself fully devoted to the service of God, says Paul. And just when you thought, oh, hypocrite, he's about to boast. I love it. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Oh, Paul, you're killing me here. You're awesome. Well, Nebuchadnezzar said, look at the great kingdom I have built. And God says, what? God goes, what was that? What'd I hear? This kingdom you've built, Nebuchadnezzar? Has God used your life? Is he using your life? It's because God has used your life. Well, you know, the Lord had a lot to work with when he met me. I think Paul would have a word to that. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you. Hello. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Number 7. We're on 7, aren't we? Anybody counting? Arguments from beyond us is number 7, and it's from beyond our preferences. What's our taste, our preference, what we like, what we think. And so look at verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it was I or they, So we preach, and so you believe. It's an amazing statement. Paul is saying this. It doesn't, church, are you listening? It doesn't matter from whom you heard the gospel. It doesn't matter who preached it to you. If it's me, Paul says, or the other apostles. That's not important. Do you remember how he opened this book months ago, years ago, whenever we started this book? He said, some say you're of Paul. Some say you're of Apollos. Some say you're a Baptist. Some say you're Calvary Chapel. Some say you're Lutheran. Some say you're Methodist. Carnal, all of it. Carnal. Wrong. Was the gospel preached to you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead the third day, ascended back into heaven, he's your Lord and Savior, was the gospel preached? And you said, yes, I want that. I believe that and I want that for my life. I want my sins forgiven because I now truly believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I've been favored by God, but it doesn't matter. If Greg Laurie wouldn't have been faithful that night, Monday night, June 20th, 1977, he would have found a donkey, if necessary, to speak the gospel to me. Believe it. It's not what stripes you have on your robe or how many tassels you've acquired over your career or how many hours you've prayed. Listen, it doesn't matter how many Bible verses you've memorized. Do you personally know Jesus Christ as your risen Lord and Savior? If you do, you're going to heaven. God will not ask for your degree. He's not going to ask for your tassel. He's going to ask, what did you do with my son? My son, when you heard the gospel and the grace of God was extended to you, tell me, what did you do with my son when you were on earth? Tell me, tell the world, tell the universe, tell the angels. What did you do with my son? I want to hear. It's not preference. And it's beyond experience. Verse 11, Paul says, we preach. Can you circle that word? Preaching is one of the stupidest things in the universe. How can you say that? Because it's what I do. I'm qualified to say it's absolutely ridiculous. Did you know, to date, technology still can't replace preaching? Young people, listen to that one. Look, you can go to a concert or you can buy the CD. Which one's better? The concert. Okay, listen. When I travel, I take a picture of my wife. Okay, and if I look while I'm traveling at that picture of my wife, that's one thing and that's the closest thing, right? But when I get home, I don't go walking into the living room and say, honey, I'm home. It was a great trip. And look at the picture and kiss the picture with her standing there. Are you nuts? No, you want the real thing. You want the reality. Not something that's a theoretical experience. Have you met Jesus? Can you say today, my friend, that you have encountered the person of Christ? And how does that happen? Listen, you can hear messages on podcasting, and we're grateful. You can watch on TV. You can listen on radio. I'm grateful. But it's no substitute to personally meeting Jesus. And that comes from some way, shape, or form, that life of his being preached to you. It could be your grandma making you a cookie. It could be a stranger on a broadcast. True. But Paul says, still to this hour, it's amazing. We preach Christ. Number 9, verse 11, convincing. From beyond our convincing. The argument is beyond us, and I'm so glad about this. Listen, it's from beyond our convincing. My friend, if I could emotionally stimulate you this morning, if I could bribe you, coerce you into becoming a Christian, you might say, when are you going to end this message? I'll become a Christian, so you'll end the message. It's ending now. We're winding down. Have you been convinced? So convinced that Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about having doubts, and I'm not talking about having difficulties in life. When you fly through the doubts, and when you fly through the issues, when you come out on the other side, those of you who are Christians, I want to tell you in advance that when you get on the other side, because I've watched people get to the other side, like you saw in the video clip. Jesus is there. And you don't have to hope he's there. Oh, my dear friend, listen. You do not have to say, gosh, I hope Jesus meets me on the other side. You don't have to hope that. You don't have to wish that. I know he will be on the other side for you and for me more than I know the lineage and the heritage of my last name. And number 10, from beyond ourselves, which is the greatest for me. You believed. He says in verse 11, you believed. Pisteo, faith. You could put on your margins of your Bible, you exercised faith. It's pretty awesome to realize that the preaching of the gospel has a miraculous effect. In our culture, I'm not knocking it. In the 21st century, pastors, Christians, evangelists are mocked and made fun of. I understand that. It's okay. No problem. You preach what? The good news. The good news? What's the good news? In our culture, we've gotten so far from God that if you start mentioning good news, people think you're talking about the numbers to the lotto. What good news is out there? Did I win a car? No, my friend, the good news is death's got no power over your life. And listen, it's the funniest thing. The very issue of life that every human being struggles with, when you present them the good news, the answer, far too many people, especially those who have not suffered, reject it. They will more easily receive the winning or perceived to be winning lotto numbers than they will John 3:16. And then in our lives we hurt. Suffering comes, difficulty comes, hardship hits us. And maybe that's going on in some of your lives right now, and you're here today because the Word of God means something more to you now than it did last week or last year. Why? Because you are willing to even come to a church service and listen to an idiot present the Bible, which promises you eternal life. Not me. Thank God, not me. The Bible. And what will you do when you die? You can decide right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, a passage that really kind of makes the gospel easy to understand and gives hope to the true believer. The title of this series within a series is that all-important soul-searching question, what will happen to you when you die? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter journey through 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, we're offering this series, What Will Happen to You When You Die, in a 4-CD set. Remember, if you've ever been challenged to explain the gospel in simple terms to someone, but you really couldn't figure out where to begin, this is a terrific resource. And it just might give you a deeper understanding and appreciation for all that God the Son did and went through to save you. Now, here's the offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series called What Will Happen to You When You Die in a 4-CD set for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 4-CD series, What Will Happen to You When You Die. Call, click, or write as soon as you can. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. I strongly suggest you get this 4-CD series. I think you're going to like it. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you could write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.